Hey everyone, before we start the show, we just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We literally could not do the show without you. And if you don't support us on Patreon, please do check it out. For just $5 a month, you get early access to all episodes and you get access to our Patreon exclusive releases. So far, we've released a Call of Cthulhu scenario called The Space Between, which is a very, very cool modern day scenario. And we're also right now releasing a Cult Divinity Lost scenario, which the second episode is coming out this week. So definitely check that out if you have any spare cash. If that does sound good to you, please do check out patreon.com/howwerollpodcast and we will be eternally grateful. But for now, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome back to How We Roll. We are finally, after literally a 3-month break, returning to our Curse of Strahd campaign. Thank you so much for your patience. Before we start, we do have some bad news. Unfortunately, Lisa Lee will no longer be joining us at the podcast. It's been an incredible year, incredible 2 years role-playing with her. She's made some huge contributions to the podcast and she's got some amazing things lined up. So we're going to do a few introductions and then we're going to jump onto the show. So I am Joe Trier. I am your DM. It's so nice to say that again. I am your DM tonight. Let's start with Niall. Niall, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Niall and I play Voron Elar in this campaign. It's a high elf zombie, well, actually ghoul wizard, level 7. And that's that. I also look unfamiliar to everyone here because I shaved my beard yesterday.
Traitor.
Yeah. And next up, welcome back to the show, Aaron. Great to be playing with you again.
Hello there, Joe. Yes, it's good to be back, filling up some rather familiar steel boots once again.
Yeah, we have all very much missed Sylvarax.
That's right. So I'm going to be back in the familiar shoes of Sylvarax. The Dragonborn Paladin.
Maybe we can clear that up now. Is it shoes? Is it boots? Or are Dragonborns like hobbits and just have their lizardy toes out to the air? Like,
to be honest with you, I think they just have their feet out to the open air.
It would be weird for him to wear boots. He'd probably need custom boots.
But like every Dragonborn is a paladin, so like blacksmiths must be used to just making Dragonborn paladin boots. Like that must be a thing. In fact, if you probably go to a blacksmith, there's probably more like 3-toed boots than there are normal boots.
I don't know. I mean, I would perhaps argue that the natural Dragonborn scales are maybe harder than some armors.
As the only Dragonborn and Dragonborn Paladin in the group, I will let you decide that for how we roll. So make that decision, and when you next describe Sylvarax, you can describe his feet.
AC 22.
But only
from
if you get
the
hit
ankles
the foot.
Down. Yeah.
And that was Aram. Aram, welcome back to the show. Really glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're always welcome, even if you do turn up an hour and a half late.
Fuck you.
Was it really an hour and a half late? I thought it was like half an hour late. Oh, God, I'm so incredibly sorry.
No,
an hour.
It was about an hour.
I suck. I apologize.
Don't worry. They'll get you in the next episode when they lure you into a room and shoot you.
That's an old joke.
Now, Aram, you find yourself in a room full of dogs.
Oh, hi.
Just for anyone who hasn't been introduced to your character, Aram, can tell us a little about Grayson?
Sure. Grayson is an awakened cat on her second life and is a warlock with a mysterious patron. Who apparently also brought her back to life and gave her her second of her 9 lives.
Yeah, and I definitely need to. We need to explore that patron a bit more, and that may happen in the very near future. And last but by no means least, welcome to the show, Dave. We're not really sure how we're going to introduce your character tonight, but do you want to tell us a little bit about? No, let's not.
Let's keep it a secret. Anyway, I'm Dave, and I am playing a completely new character. Who shall be introduced shortly.
How is he going to get along with Grayson, I wonder?
And maybe, yeah, maybe butting head with Grayson's real estate.
I mean, Grayson doesn't like any of you, so probably the same.
So,
ouch.
Obviously, for everyone at home, it probably has been a few weeks since we last released this episode, but for all of us, it was literally the beginning of November, maybe even end of October since we last played. So I will do a quick recap, and hopefully we can jump right on board exactly where we left off. So last episode, Voron, Viesu, and Grayson set a trap for the Burgomistress's suspicious son. Viesu disguised herself as a sheep, while the other two lay in wait. When the son arrived, Grayson blasted him off his feet with a critical witch bolt. How much damage did you do? Like 70 points?
It was an incredible amount of damage. It was a shocking amount. It was somewhere like 70 or 80 points of damage.
It's basically the thunderclap was heard outside the town. The town's guard quickly arrived to find the son, the burgomistress's son, smoking body lying on the ground. Grayson immediately fled the scene, and Voron and Viesu were placed under house arrest. As they were taken away, I'm not sure if it was Voron or Viesu. I think it was Viesu passed her spot hidden role or perception role because we're playing D&D and noticed that the sun, as he was being carried off to the morgue or wherever they put bodies, head lifts up and smiles at the two.
Yep.
As he was playing possum. Grayson, leaving the scene of the crime, flew into the air using her Cloak of the Bat. And as she searched the area for Solvarax, she noticed something strange about this clearing in the centre of the town. First of all, her mega gem, the Martikov gem, began glowing or pulsating when she got in the vicinity of this clearing. And she also noticed that there were a number of half-buried and broken standing stones ringing this clearing.
Right.
Also in the middle, there's this kind of structure, sort of metal structure built around this pyre or fire that's been set. Grayson then spotted Solvarax just on the outside of the wall, where I believe Solvarax had managed to capture the Burgomaster's husband, Dimitri. And I believe we ended last episode with Solvarax succeeding on an intimidation roll. The weaselly little man is struggling. I guess maybe you holding him off the ground. He's like, please don't hurt me. I'll tell you anything you want.
I'm kind of holding him there by the scruff of the front of his shirt. And his toes are wiggling just slightly off the ground as I hold him there.
I love Joe's Weasley characters. They're some of my favorite ones. Oh, please, please, don't harm me.
Love Second that. Nature Joe.
Like, I can do two things. I can do posh and I can do Weasley. And I'm in my element if I can do posh Weasley.
I mean, they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
But, let's face it, douchebag characters are always the most fun.
They are.
Just, I'm not doing the Borat thing anymore. That's the... Oh, please don't hurt me.
Please don't hurt me.
So he's staring between the two of you back and forth, waiting for your to see what happens next.
I did reveal myself, and Silvarx is aware of me.
Yes.
Yes, excellent. Okay, yeah. Good.
Yes, because I believe you just told me that the others got arrested in the town
right.
square.
Right, right. I don't know how. I mean, they must have done something. I don't know why they'd be arrested. Whistling.
Right. Right. And I'm just kind of pressing on the Burgomaster's husband. What's going on here?
I don't know what you mean. I heard this huge boom, like a bolt of lightning and thunder. And the ghosts, they had been there to Mistress Vadu's house. And then I've run away. And then you grabbed me. You were meant to be a hero. You need to get to the town and find out what's happening.
No need. The lightning was me. I did that.
What?
The sun. What can you say? I hit him with lightning. I guess lightning of sorts, right? Fried him good, but he's still alive because he's not really a child. He's a monster. Isn't that fun?
You've probably made him angry. Oh, no.
Oh, you knew about him, did you?
What do you know?
He grew sick. He was going to die. I had no choice. I would do it again if I had to.
I want to... Can I use disguise self to look like the child? Oh, wait, you know what? Yeah, but I guess disguise self for me would only let me look like other four-legged creatures, wouldn't it? Because that's how it works for... Okay, so I can't look like a person. I could look like a squirrel, but I can't look like a person. All right, fair enough.
A squirrel with the child's face.
Yeah, but I do want to use prestidigitation to imitate the child's voice. And I want to be like, you shouldn't have told. You should have been quiet.
Okay, so he's going to make a con save to see if he stays conscious. He's like eyes roll in his head and he looks like he's going to pass out. He rolled a natural 20.
You waste those rolls on those kind of things, Joe.
He looks back and forth and goes, it wasn't really me. He promised me that it would be okay. Not my son, obviously.
Who promised you? Go ahead and say
The abbot. Up. The abbot is... He said he could bring him back to life. He said there might be problems. They said he'd be different, he'd be changed, but he would be my son. So I agreed. I took him away from his deathbed. Without his mother knowing, I carried him up those broken steps to that accursed place. And the abbot and his fiends, they met me at the door. And they said it would be fine. But ever since, he's been different, always hungry. And so, I've been feeding him the sheep. But even now, he just wants more and more and more. And I'm so scared. He looked like he was going to attack me before. He has that look in his eye. You have to help me, please.
Okay. We don't, really, honestly. I mean, it's not like this isn't our job, but, you know, perhaps. So, tell us about this abbot. What was the deal? Like, what else did they tell you? Why did they do this?
The abbot. He's holy. He's not human. I don't know the word, but he's pure good.
Clearly.
He came here in my great grandfather's time. The monastery was destroyed by Strahd. And many years ago, and the only thing that was there was the ghosts and the Bellevue monsters. But the abbot came in and he said he was curing them, bringing them back to sanity. But he kept to himself, and he said as long as we kept to ourselves and he kept to himself, there'd be no problem. But every now and again, when someone got too ill for our medicines and our magic, we would ask for a favor, and he would always grant it. But there was often a cost.
Right. As good people always have, a cost for their good deeds. That's what the good do. So what was this cost?
He said he would come back different. He said something... What were the words? Something was wrong.
Well, it's not your child, so that's the good news. Bad news is he's a demon, and I mean, exorcise it, maybe, probably kill him.
No, but he's my son. You have to help him. Bring him back.
He's a demon, and his soul's probably in hell, but I could call in a favor. What's in it for us?
I have gold. Help him, I have gold. And he sort of pats himself down, and he does have this. It's not the same as the gold, the Burgomaster's sort of chain, but it's a similar one, a thinner one. Mm-hmm. I'll give you, please, save him, I'll give you this.
I bat at it, and I look to Silvarix, like, is this useful at all for you?
I silently stand there and shake my head.
What do you want? I can anything.
Well, we want you to set up a little meeting for us and this priest of yours, this good priest. Don't tell him we're coming. Have it be a surprise. That's what we want.
Oh, of course. I'll show you where to go. The path is hidden, but it's not too hard to find.
Wonderful.
And then from the direction of the town, you hear screaming.
Oh. I mean, but every other day, right? is it new screaming? Is it just the general background screaming?
This sounds like, rather than like one or two people screaming, like 50 people screaming.
Okay, that's bad. That's fair. That's bad. All right, we should probably, I guess that we should go, Silvarix. Perhaps we should investigate. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Nice. So let's flick the camera over to Voron. So Voron, you have been placed, thrown inside to this, what looked from the outside to be another hut. And you're thrown in through the door and the door is slammed after you. And you hear a bolt being drawn, something you wouldn't normally find on the outside of a hut.
What does it look like on the inside? What do I see?
You have dark vision, right?
Dark vision, yeah. Up to 60 feet.
So it seems to be very similar to all the other ones, but this has obviously been modified. So the front room has been completely cleared. There's no sign of furniture. The fireplace looks like it's been filled in. The two windows that are on either side, left and right walls, have been barred. And it looks like they've been partially filled in with rocks. There is a door to the back room, and there's like a strip of leather sort of half blocking that off. There's sort of this sort of rough white plaster that covers the inside of all the huts that you've been in here has been shredded. It looks like something with enormous... I mean, the only thing you can think of to describe it is maybe like a tiger's claws, like the one you saw outside Valaki, or a giant cat has been tearing at these walls, trying to, I don't know, get out. The door behind you has been shredded as well. In fact, can you give me a perception roll? Let's focus on listening.
Oh, yeah, I sure can. I can probably fail one. Yep, I got a 2 plus... It doesn't matter. 2 plus 3, I got 5. Kind of disorientated, so I'm not really kind of focused.
Yeah, so that's all you get.
Okay, windows, you said they were filled in, were they?
So they're barred and partly filled in.
Can I see out of them?
Yeah, you can. Do you want to sort of wander over to one or just stay where you are?
Yeah, I'd like to wander over and just see if I can see out one of the windows. That would be enough for me for now. I don't really want to explore too much into this house because it doesn't sound like a safe place. What I'm going to do is use Mage Hand to kind of lift the leather sheet separating the door to see if I can see beyond that.
A strong smell comes from within. Something very animal, something very primal. You don't recognize it immediately. Possibly could be like cat spray.
Musk.
Musk.
Yeah, I think musk is a much better way of describing it. But they're directly in front of the door. You sort of see into darkness. It's not very far to the back wall, but you can't see to left or right.
I'm going to use Minor Illusion to conjure the shape of one of the villagers kind of standing in the doorframe to see if anything happens to it.
Now what do y'all want now?
Yes, okay, so the villager is like, he just kind of backs away slightly. It's like it's 5 foot square, so the villager doesn't really move much, and it's just an illusion. But Voron, who's there?
Well, you should know, y'all's the one who's put me here, and been keeping me here far too long for no good reason.
I dispel the illusion, I get rid of it. It's like, no, sorry, that's... I'm not from this village. I don't... Who are you? What? Could you come out, please? And while I'm also preparing to cast a bigger spell, if needs be.
So as what little light leaks through the windows, Voron just sees a mammalian sort of shaped foot but covered it in fur with wicked long two centimeter talons, just steps into the light very softly. Now, I know that was just an illusion, because it had no smell, but I'm sorry to say this. You smell like you're 3 weeks dead. What exactly might you be?
I've had some complications in my recent life. I've come to be stuck in this land. I died, but something won't let me die. I don't know what I am. I don't know what's going on right now. But right now, I'm locked in here with you, and I don't know who you are.
I must say, that's mighty unfortunate for you. And he just, as it sort of stalks into the light, clad only in a loincloth, this lithe, almost cheetah-like humanoid cat, bare with its claws extended, bared. Now, unless you give me a good reason, I might just have to eliminate the threat. I can't say I have any endearment towards the undead.
I don't either. I didn't choose to be undead. But you're locked in here, which means that you're not friends with these villagers. Is that a safe assumption to make?
Saying that I am not friends with these fucks might be something of a slight understatement.
How would you like to get out of here?
Well, as you can probably see, I've tried every door, window, and slightly loose plank in this place, and I've found no exit.
Well, that's where I can come in. I have tricks of a sort. I use prestidigitation to make sparkles.
Yes, you're a mage. That's clear to all and sundry.
Do you want to get out of here?
The cats hate water? Of course I want to get the fuck up out of here.
I use a misty step and just bamf outside the window.
That works. Two guards that are outside the window. They've been sort of laughing and joking.
Are they still out there? All right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know they were still there.
Jackson just sort of standing there looking in the room, looking at the empty space where he is. Well, fuck.
I bamf out and just immediately run to the door and unslide the latch that they just latched closed.
Okay, so that would be your surprise move, because obviously they've gone poof, and they've sort of night crawled right next to them, and they're both
a ghoul just standing there.
So one of them sort of reacts by basically falling over backwards. The other one is a little bit more with it and grabs onto his pike off the ground and swings it in your direction. Let's just give me a roll. So the obvious thing would be athletics, but you could also do acrobatics to see if you can quickly fling the bar off under this tense situation. What did you roll?
If it was a surprise, can I roll with advantage?
No.
Okay, I rolled a 2.
Oh, Christ.
Thankfully, I have a plus 18 on whatever it is that you're asking me to roll.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, what plus do you have to your athletics or acrobatics?
Acrobatics, plus 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to do it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so the surprise round's over. Let's roll for initiative. And Dave, what's the name of your character?
Jack Sorrel. Everyone calls me Jax.
Nice. Okay, so guys, can you roll me initiative?
23.
10.
10, okay.
Cheetah is my name and fast is my game.
Guard 1 got 16, guard 2 got 14.
I think that Voron might die. Did I get the latch undone, though?
No. You rolled a 2.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Jack, it's your round. What do you want to do?
Well, the door's still closed. Yep. I'm looking at the empty space in which there was a zombified elf talking to me. And then I hear some ruckus outside. I guess I'm gonna reserve an action right by the closed door.
So the first guard is swinging his pike round to face you, and he goes, "Boris, get off the ground! You, Voron, you undead monster, get back inside!"
Okay. Let me just hop on in.
Hands off of there! Hands up!
Okay. Open the door for me, please. I'm sorry. Bit of a mistrigger inside. I didn't mean to come back out.
You're a wizard. Give me your spellbook.
No.
Hand it over.
If you want my spellbook, you will have to take it off of me.
He looks a little bit worried for a moment.
I put my hands down and now they're just like resting on my side. I'm like, your choice.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Boris, go. Get the burgomistress and the rest of the guard. Sound the alarm. And you, hands up.
Can I cast a spell?
It is technically your initiative now, but he will, like, he's within 5 feet of you with a readied weapon.
Yeah, I cast Thunder Wave.
Nice. Okay.
Take my staff and just, like, slam it into the ground, and I cast Thunder Wave. So, he makes a con 15 save, then he takes 1d8 damage rather than the 2d8, and he doesn't get knocked back, I think it's 10 or 15 feet. 10 feet to push him back.
He rolls a 14 plus 1, so that's a 15.
Fuck. Okay, so he takes 1d8 damage, which I will roll now. He takes 3 damage. That's not very good. And for my movement, I am going to... Can I just, instead of doing my movement or any bonus action, can I just try the door again to move the bar?
That could be part of your movement, but because he's still within 5 feet of you and he held his action, he is going to take a shot at you.
That's fine.
He rolls a 4, so the pike basically embeds itself in the door next to you as you're trying to pull the pull the bolt aside.
I pull the door, the latch open.
The door swings open. Start of the new round, Jax. It's your round.
You are seriously going to have to get some cat noise sound effects for this.
Hey, I didn't do it for Ram. I'm not doing it for you.
With a leonine snarl, Jax bounds forward. How far away are they?
Just outside the door.
Right at, like, facing you.
Then I just rip my claws across the throat, hopefully. Then 18?
Yeah, that's a hit.
Unfortunately, my claw.
Tearing through the poor guard's studded leather armor.
6 points of damage.
Okay, it doesn't disembowel him. It certainly doesn't rip his throat out, but he falls back in a spray of blood, and he drops to the ground. Can I ask you to make an intimidate roll for me?
The 20, non-natural.
Fuck this! And begins to, like, scamper away on all fours and run in the direction of his companion.
Doesn't drop his weapon or anything.
His weapon's lodged in the door.
I look at Voron. Now, I don't know about you, but fighting in my skivvies isn't exactly the way I like to engage in combat.
Then how about his?
He bows ornately and courtly manner and just says, "If we endure the better part of valor," indicating that Voron run in the direction opposite to the guards.
One second, and I'm going to cast Grease just in front of the guard. So yeah, I just, like, boom. I want him to fall prone so we can hog tie him and take his armor or something so Jax isn't absolutely...
Well, he's rolled a natural 1.
Okay, so...
falls and breaks his neck.
The guard is currently prone.
All that works. And just jumps, leaps on top of the guard's back and just pulls his claws out and almost lovingly just rips across his throat as he's prone.
And at that moment, in the direction of the center of town, you hear the sound of screaming.
Ah, so it wasn't us that caused the screaming.
So let's flip the camera back to Grayson and Sulvarax.
Yeah, no, Aram. Aram is in the middle right now. I'm like, fuck this, I'm going home. Be no goddamn way. All right, so we were heading, I guess, towards the screaming, right? That was the plan?
Yeah, we're kind of, I imagine we're kind of Batman and Robin running into the,
I'm Batman, except it's a really tiny fucking Batman. It's like a Batman about this big.
I'm sure there's a cat video of a cat in a Batman suit.
Running towards the epicenter of the disturbance.
Okay, so you burst through the door in the wall that leads back into the town, because obviously you were actually outside in the forest.
Fuck that, I'm a bat, I fly over it.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So are you splitting up? Are you sort of staying with Sulvarax, or are you just going off?
If like Sulvarax had a drone, right? I'm like the drone looking out for him. Like I'm about 40 feet above, just flying over.
So from your raised height, you look across the village and you can see everyone, because they're all dressed in white. So it's actually quite easy to see these scattered people running away from what seems to be the sheep pen.
Right.
Now, in the center of the sheep pen is a bloated mass surrounded by bloody patches and the occasional splatter of wool. This creature is almost indescribable. A wet, wrinkled, bloated body surmounted by a hairless, overlarge head with a set of large, glassy, vacant eyes. It reaches out one flabby arm towards the last remaining escaping sheep and thrusts it into its drooling mouth. A stinking ichor pours down it. As it gobbles the sheep, you actually see it grow another chunk. Its arms are actually too slender for its body, with tiny little hands. It's almost like, at the end, its hands are the sort of size of the tiny boy it once was. Its dead legs hanging below it, far too small for its body. The whole area around it is blackened. Trees within 30 feet of it are now completely black and dead.
Like withered? Like the life's been sucked out of them?
Exactly. Okay. That. There's a couple of kind of like blackened corpses nearby that are exactly that. It's not they've burned, they've been withered. You also notice hoarfrost across the entire area. I also want you to give me a perception roll.
Okay, perception. What am I perceiving with? My eyes?
Yeah.
My eyes. Okay, hang on. Just because I get bonuses with hearing.
I know. Yeah. Normally it'd be a ridiculous question, but perfect for Grayson.
Okay, so 1 die 20 plus 4. That'd be a 7.
So 7, no, you don't notice anything beyond what I've already said.
Fair enough.
Sulvarax, now you're much closer to the action because obviously you're running across the ground. Now you can see this creature through the trees. And you notice how cold it is, and you recognize the blackness surrounding it, this shimmer of blackness, as negative energy. This thing is channeling something directly from the plane of death.
Mm-mm. Like unholy sort of energy.
Very much so, yeah.
Maybe he's my buddy.
No, I'm somewhere else.
I understand now why me having like no health and no spells might be an issue.
So I think we can roll initiative, and I think we can all do it as well. So let's not just limit it to the two of you. Let's also include the other two as well.
Fucking hell. 6. I rolled a 1. I got distracted. Felt like a bird.
I rolled a 16.
There was such a long, drawn-out moment of, what the fuck?
See, the problem is, I'm a cat. So I heard a noise, and I was like, I need to focus on that noise. But 10 seconds later, I'm like, I don't know where the fuck I was here.
I actually rolled well. I got a 19.
Nice.
Plus
2, so 21.
Ooh. Lovely. And Jax?
I got a 13 plus 5, so 18.
Plus 5, love that. Okay, and let's see how this creature does.
40
I'm
million.
A cheetah, baby.
I rolled a 10, a minus 3, so that's a 7.
Oh, it's not very dexterous. Very good. Let me find out what spells of the two I have left are dexterity saves.
Okay, so it's Voron and Jack. So you're actually not that far away. You probably can't quite see it, but you can certainly see the people running from that direction.
What did you roll, Dave?
18.
Okay. I pull out my broom. Hop on.
I look down at the guardsman. I've just given a Brazilian smile, a Brazilian necktie, and. Is he my size?
I think you could manage it. I think you can make something work.
I quickly strip him of his weapons and armor and start to don them.
Okay, well, quickly. let's say that this has moved on a couple of minutes. That's already happened. So let's say okay. You're already wearing the armor.
So I've discarded his halberd and picked up his sidearms, and I jump on the back of Voron's broom.
Nice. So his sidearm, so nearly all the guards have crossbows, so there'll be a crossbow and a number of bolts.
Okay. What kind of crossbow?
Heavy crossbow.
And you got a pike too, right?
Did he have any kind of sidearm, sword?
So they would have had short swords, so there'll be a short sword there as well.
Okay, in that case, I with almost imperceptible speed, I knock a bolt in the crossbow and jump on the back of the broom. And as we fly out, so remind me again why we're flying towards the screams?
I'm not here by myself, and I feel like if there's screaming going on, that my friends are probably involved. Normally, you're right, running from the screaming is the right choice.
Once we're already way too high in the air for me to do anything
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, free to leave.
So remind me why I'm here?
Well, I just saved your life, so you can help me. Fair enough.
Who saved whose life? Anyway, just banter as we fly along, sort of the bickering drifts off, fades into the background.
Okay, so that'll be your rounds, so you'll appear at some point.
Okay.
So let's carry on down the initiative, and I believe I'd normally say it's Grayson, but it's not at all. It's a Sylvarax with a 16.
Is Grayson last?
Sylvarax kind of looks at this beast and... I mean, do I have any knowledge about what unholy creature this might be and any sort of weak spots I could exploit to defeat it? Or
Sure, give me a religion check.
Oh, this should be good. Let's have a look. Ooh, lovely. Okay. I roll a 9.
Plus?
A 9. You know that undead are normally particularly vulnerable to radiant energy, particularly paladin's radiant attack. So yeah, I think you're probably going to be very good at fighting this creature.
Okay, well, we'll see. What I'm going to do is I am going to charge it.
Nice.
And I am going to hopefully get it to focus on me. So, with a great big roar, I pull out my longsword and grab the shield off my back.
Nice.
And charge at it with a normal attack. 22 to hit.
23 rips into it. Absolutely.
And that would do... okay, so let me see. I am going to use a Divine Smite.
What level?
Second level.
And do you want to double whatever you get for this? As this is particularly vulnerable to radiant energy. 7, so 17 for your first attack. Your glowing sword rips into it, and it's like a red-hot sword through butter. That you don't even feel resistance. You cut through the putrescent flesh, and you're immediately sprayed in black ichor. Give me your second attack.
Second attack, I swing the sword back behind me and put all of my force into a forward horizontal thrust. That's a 24 to hit.
24 is absolutely a hit. And roll for damage. You can Divine Smite on this one as well if you have any spell slots.
So that's a 12 normal strength.
Nice.
Oh, that's a bit better. That's a 9.
9, so double that to 18.
18, so yeah. So 12 plus 18. You've got, what, 30 points of damage there?
So that's for a total of 47 points of damage. The creature screams, babbling incoherently as it tries to turn its huge body towards you. You can see that it's struggling just because of its spindly legs underneath it, but it basically cannot hold its weight. Next in round is the creature.
Grayson's probably just started like blowing on his nails, like that's 47 damage, that's not 90 damage. He's like, I don't care.
I'm a tank character firstly, damage character second.
The creature is going to strike at you. So the first one gets a 25 to hit.
That does hit.
So for a total of 14 points of damage. So Grayson.
Yeah. I have one fourth level spell left because I blew one on the child, right? So I've only got one. So Grayson comes flying in as the bat. Right, everyone else has gone in. We've seen it take some hits, but it's still going. And Grayson just kind of like soars in towards like a beam on the roof if it's open, and Grayson can look down or a window or something. Flips in midair and transforms back into a cat. And as she comes down, claws through reality. Right, and a void opens up in front of her as her eyes roll back red, and she speaks in this multi-tongued, you know, exaggerated, echoey voice, and she summons a demon from hell. Okay, she casts Summon Greater Demon.
Nice. Okay, so which greater demon are you summoning?
Which is the meanest?
You're looking for one of the, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a big gorilla thing.
Yeah.
It's a bar bat. Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Hell yeah, that thing. Yeah, Grayson's coming with the big guns.
It is called a barrel gorilla.
That's it.
That motherfucker right there.
I want that thing. Yeah, that. That. Woof. Grayson's like, King Kong, bitch. And then it just could drop him.
Nice. Okay, so the Balgura is going to act on your next round. Do you have the rules up? Have you got D&D Beyond and stuff?
I got them right up right now.
You can. Where do you want it to appear?
I literally want I assume I'm 20 feet above this thing or something. Mm. I literally want to create a void in reality and have it like fucking Donkey Kong out and just whams right into the thing.
Okay, nice. Well, we'll deal with that next round. The creature is going to use one of its legendary actions to attack Tulvarex again. So it takes another touch attack. Let's see if it can hit you. So it rolls a 24.
That does hit.
Plus 9. Jesus Christ.
So it does another 14 points of damage.
Okay.
So we are now top of the round as a cresting over the trees arrive Voron with a strange cat person. Top of the round, that is Voron. It's your initiative.
I reach into my cloak and pull out it's a shaving of a licorice and cast a spell and touch Jax in the back. I was like, this should help you. And I cast haste on him as we're moving towards this creature. And outside of that, I get as close as we can without it. Where Jax can jump off and move into attack.
Nice. So Dave, you get plus 2 to AC, you get advantage on dexterity saving throws, and you get an additional action.
I'm making you OP right now. It's a very, very strong spell.
As he sort of lowers off to drop me off, I'm just like, do you not see that I'm holding a crossbow right now? I imagine he sort of swivels, does a sharp turn with the flying broom, sort of. So I sort of jump off and bounce off.
I can see you have a sword too as I fly away.
Shake my head at the stupidity of elves and the hubris of elves, and raise my crossbow and just fire off with almost imperceptible speed, 3 bolts. With a 18.
Yep.
19.
Yep.
And 16.
So this is a non-magical weapon. So your bolts just go pum, pum, pum. and disappear into the flesh, and it doesn't even look up. There's just tiny holes in the sort of slightly leak some liquid, but that's it.
That's not good.
Well, shit. Well, that was my three actions, so I've just...
He just runs away.
I've shot my load. Yeah, I'll sort of I'll withdraw to some, like, round a corner or something while I sort of reconsider my options.
Okay, Sylvarax, you start your turn near it, and the negative energy is beginning to draw from you. You feel your very essence being destroyed from within, and your scales begin to blacken at the tips. I need you to take me another 12 points of damage.
Okay.
As it's your round.
Okay, so I can't keep this up forever, so if anyone wants to jump in anytime and do anything, then more than
Hey, welcome. I don't know you from Eve. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm going to attack him back using another Divine Smite.
Nice.
So, here we go. 24.
24 is a hit. Let's do that damage. And remember to double the damage from any smiting.
Right, so... So that's a normal hit of 13. And then 12 damage for the Divine Smite.
You rip into him, and although his guts are literally pouring over you, he's managed to swing his bloated body enough so he can see you. And through his dripping jowls, you see that he doesn't seem angry. He doesn't seem scared. He seems to be smiling. And it's your second attack.
15 to hit.
This creature seems almost unable to dodge.
So that's a 6 for damage, yeah.
Okay, so the creature looks down at you, and through his bloated voice, he says,
"Even three champions of the temple will not be able to stop me. I will be the next owner of Pyrovia. My patron, the Lord Flesh, has chosen me to usurp the tyrant in the castle."
And I think with that, we will end this episode. So thank you so much, everyone at home, for listening. And thank you, everyone here, for playing. I do apologize if I kill you all here.
It's looking very likely.
Yeah. So if you do want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Twitter at HWR Podcast. You can find all of us on the Discord, and there are links to that on the show notes. You can contact all of us through the Facebook page, and we also have an email. So if you do want to send us any sort of business request or anything like that, please contact us at howwerollpodcast@gmail.com. Niall, where can people find you? Is there anything you want to share or talk about?
Nothing I want to share or talk about. You can find me on the How We Roll Discord. Outside of that, I'm not really on other social medias or social whatever it is. I tried Twitter, I don't get it, so I give up on that. But you can find me on the Discord. I'm usually hanging around there somewhere.
Fantastic. And Aaron, I believe that you said that you've changed your Twitter handle. Do tell us more. How can people get in touch with you?
So you can go ahead and find me on the usual avenues, which is on Twitter at HWR Aaron, and nice. Also on the Discord as well. Just message me or tag me at Aaron, and I shall respond to you in due time.
Amazing. And Dave, I believe you're quite active on it.
So I am on our Discord. I like Discord. I like nice people. And I don't like the rest of the internet, which seems to be full of assholes. No offense. Unless you're an asshole, in which case, all offense.
Oh, well, fuck you too.
But yeah, no, come interact with me on the Discord. I am there lots. Because I found nice people to chat with. So booze, DIY, miniature painting, terrain making, random bullshit about television shows and books and novels and all the nerd interests.
We do have an entire section on Dungeons & Dragons and Call of Cthulhu as well.
Yeah. Boring stuff, like, you know. Come chat about beards. Beards are good.
We do not have a beard channel soon. Yet. I'm sure I'll be wanting...
Beer or beard?
But both. There's already booze. Yeah, I will post my most recent cocktail making adventures.
Sure. And Aram, thank you again for joining us. Where can people find more of your stuff?
Well, I am an asshole, so you can find me on Twitter at Vardian. V-A-R-T-I-N. I have two shows, God's Fall and Rise of the Demigods, and also starting, it's already started by the time this is out, but Fridays on Encounter Roleplay, and the videos will be up if this is already gone, I will be playing Siltek Null, who is a Cardassian who grew up in Montana after his mom defected. So he's a cowboy Cardassian.
I love that so much.
Sorry, Cardassian or Kardashian?
See, everyone thinks that because I'm Armenian and I highly resent it. Cowboy Cardassian.
On that note, we'll see you all next time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. We do hope you've enjoyed our return to D&D. If you'd like to hear more of what we do, you can also find our Call of Cthulhu one-shots as well as our ongoing Call of Cthulhu campaign. Thank you so much for listening. We do hope you've enjoyed our return to D&D. If you'd like to hear more of what we do, Thank you so much for listening. We do hope you've enjoyed our return to Dungeons & Dragons. If you'd like to hear more of what we do, you can find our Call of Cthulhu one-shots and our Call of Cthulhu campaign, The Two-Headed Serpent, at our website, on iTunes, and on Spotify. And I guess wherever you find podcasts. Next week, we'll be returning to The Two-Headed Serpent, and then the week after that, we'll be going back to Dungeons & Dragons with the next Curse of Strahd episode. But if you can't wait that long, you can find the next episode right now on patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. For about $5 a month, you can get access to all of that, plus our secret Patreon-only content, which is includes our Call of Cthulhu scenario, The Space Between, which is only on there, and also our current project, which is Cult Divinity Lost. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to all our patrons, including our newest supporters, Timothy and Lloyd. Thank you both so much. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards as well, who provided many of the sound effects and music that you've heard in our show, and we highly, highly recommend checking out BattleBards.com, because there's all sorts of cool stuff there. Finally, we want to say a big thank you to our sponsors and our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms. They have a gold chest code just for How We Roll listeners. All you need to do is log on to the game and enter this code, PantoxesKueh. That is all from us. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we will see you next time.